For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Before Phil comes up to speak, let me just pray for us all here together this afternoon. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for how it speaks to us today. And we pray that as we look at it now, Father, that you will continue to speak to us and help us to see its authority, its power, and how you encourage us both to know you and to listen to your voice as we look at it. So Father, help us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Phil, over to you.
Thanks, Glenn. Good afternoon, everyone. It's great to be back after a bit of a break over the summer. It's good to see some rain as well, actually. For any of us with lawns, now apparently is the time to be planting that grass seed. September is the best month for that to start growing, so there's just a little tip, which has nothing to do with what we're about to be talking about, which is the authority of the Word of God, the Bible. Why this series? Why are we starting this academic year with a series on the Word of God? Well, my prayer is that among many things, the Lord would lead us increasingly to be those who, in the words of a Church of England prayer, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the Scriptures. That may sound strange to you if you're here investigating the Christian faith, but that is my prayer for all of us. There's a verse in the Bible, Psalm 119, that says, "Oh, how I love the word of the Lord. I will meditate on it day and night." I hope this series will be helpful for us. You know, whether we're coming to the Christian faith with many questions, among which might well be, what is the Bible? Why should we trust it? Or whether we've been a Christian for a year or for 40 years. Some of us may be been following Jesus for many years, but there are dangers further down the track. Familiarity with Bible texts and losing hunger for the Word of God. Well, today, on what authority does the Bible come to us? You'll see an intimidatingly long handout today. Don't worry, we're going to go fairly quickly through this material, but we will be covering quite a lot of material. Is the Bible merely human invention? Or is it partly divine, partly human, as liberal theology has taught over the past 150 years? Or is it God's perfect word to us? I think the main objection to the Bible being God's authoritative, perfect word is that it was written by people. 40 human authors over 1,500 years. And so we've heard it said, perhaps we would say ourselves, if it was written by people, it cannot be without error. That's what many of our colleagues will think. This quote on your sheet there is from an agnostic, famous agnostic in the 19th century called Robert Ingersoll. And he said, and I think his quote sort of summarizes the flavor of what our culture thinks of the Bible today. He said, "The Bible was written by men for men. A handbook of cruelty, a textbook of slaughter." That kind of thing has become the prevailing view of our Western culture. School students And I know a few back in our church in Dulwich. School students are thought ridiculous by teachers, by their own teachers, for believing the Bible is God's word. Now, to say that the Bible is written by humans and therefore cannot be God's perfect word to us, I think is both understandable and foolish. It's understandable because people always make mistakes in normal life, and even the greatest thinkers make mistakes. It's understandable, isn't it? It's foolish because it imagines a God who is so small that though he is the maker of all things, he finds himself constricted. You know, he'd really like to speak to his world and to do it through people, but people make so many mistakes. Oh well, God has to say, it'll have to do. And a small, rather pathetic God presents us with the Bible, which kind of says some of the things that he wants to say, but unfortunately is full of errors. Of course, the implications of that are huge. Which bits, therefore, are the bits that God said, and which are the bits that humans said, and we stitch together a God of our making? Well, let's look at this then. I want to show us today that the central claim of the Bible about itself is that it is God's perfect word through men to mankind. And just come and, if you've closed your Bibles, reopen to 2 Peter chapter 1, which I think is our key text today. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19 says this: "We have the prophetic word," that is the scriptures, "more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Peter is writing to some early Christians, and he is assuring his readers that they can trust the Scriptures like a light shining in a dark place. Why can they trust the Scriptures? Because they are not simply the words of men or of man's own interpretation, verse 20. In other words, they do not originate in the minds of men, but in the mind of God. Verse 21, "No prophecy of Scripture was ever produced by the will of man." Massively important. This distinguishes the Bible from every other book in history. We get that phrase, that key phrase in verse 21. Just look down again at it. "Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." I've drawn a little diagram on your sheets. I've tried to draw it, but the idea is simple enough. It is that God has spoken perfectly through man to mankind in the Bible. The people who spoke and then wrote the Scriptures were, Peter says, carried along by the Holy Spirit, so that every single word that they wrote was exactly the one that God the Holy Spirit wanted written on the page. The Apostle Paul says the same thing in different ways, in a different way, in 2 Timothy 3:16, which I've put on your sheet. He says this, he says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God." A better word than inspired is expired, because that word breathed out by God, literally God breathed, that the Scriptures are not so much inspired as expired by God, breathed out. Well, that was Paul, and you put that together with Peter. All Scripture has been breathed out by God through human lips and human pens, ultimately, as they wrote the Scriptures down. Of course, Peter understood that this was true, not just of the Old Testament, but the New Testament scriptures. If you come to this chapter 3, verse 2 of the same letter, 2 Peter 3, verse 2, it says this. He says he's written by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets, that's the Old Testament, and the commandment of the Lord and Saviour through your apostles. That's the New Testament. He equates the two. Prophets, apostles, Old Testament, New Testament. In the same letter, he describes Paul's letters as the scriptures. Just look down at 3 verse 15 with me. He says, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul, that's the apostle Paul, also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand. Now, if you've ever read some of Paul's letters, Romans, Ephesians, and found yourself scratching your head, this is a really encouraging verse, isn't it? The Apostle Peter, yeah, okay, there are some things in them that are hard to understand. But just because the scriptures are hard to understand, it doesn't mean they're not the scriptures. And notice, and look at what he goes on to say. Which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. In other words, he's including Paul's writings as scripture. Now let's think a little bit more about this. Some of the Bible is direct speech from God. Thus says the Lord. Often in the prophets in the Old Testament. For example, Isaiah, thus says the Lord, quote, come now, let us reason together. Your sins be like scarlet. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow, Isaiah says, or God says in Isaiah, as he prophesies the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lots in the prophets of direct speech, but it's a minority overall. 43% of the Bible is historical narrative. For one thing, the first sentence of the Bible is historical narrative. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. 10% of the Bible is epistle, letters to churches. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says. Bring my tunic, Paul says. What Peter is saying in these verses in chapter 1 is that every word is from God. Every word of Scripture is expired by God, comes with the authority of God. Hence the phrase, carried along by the Holy Spirit, not dictated to by the Holy Spirit. Very important phrase that, they were carried along. Why? Because God has spoken through humans in a greater way than mere dictation. He's spoken through the personalities, abilities, historical circumstances that combine to influence every prophet and apostle and Bible writer. As Paul writes a letter to a particular church with his personality and their particular needs, he was carried along by the Holy Spirit so that every single word was the word that the Spirit wanted written. As Solomon in Proverbs writes down his Proverbs in the Old Testament, the result of careful reflection on the world through the mind and wisdom that God gave to him, he was carried along by the Holy Spirit so that every single word was exactly the word that the Spirit wanted written. As David writes a psalm from inside a cave on the run from Saul, from the heart, he was carried along by the Holy Spirit. As Moses recounts creation, as a historian carried along by the Holy Spirit. The point is that God has not bypassed real people, but is sovereign enough over every detail to ensure that every single word they wrote was the word he wanted written on the page. I'm always amused by friends who got tired of being asked what his favourite verse in the Bible was. He had many favourite verses and got a bit tired of this. And so he said he resorted cheekily to telling people that his favourite verse was Numbers 34:10 and leaving them to go and look it up. If they did this, they would find Numbers 34:10, which says, "You shall draw a line for your eastern border from Hazar Enan to Shepham." And he'd enjoy imagining people scratching their heads. Okay, right, yeah, I can see that. Maybe. Anyway, funny story, but every sentence, including that one, pointed, breathed out by God. God's word to humanity, rightly understood within its context as it's meant to be read. I want to come now to, is God capable of speaking perfectly through flawed human beings? Now, that is a question that I think we know the answer to. The answer is yes. Jesus, as he enters Jerusalem, do you remember? Luke chapter 19, people cry out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The Pharisees say, "Stop them from saying that." Jesus says, "I tell you truly, if they didn't say it, even the stones themselves would cry out." Well, stones are more flawed than human beings in their ability to speak. God can speak through anything, anyone. He spoke through a donkey in the Old Testament. Of course he can speak through flawed human beings. Come briefly to Exodus chapter 4 to see this. And I think this verse is instructive on this point. A key moment, it's on page 47 in your Bibles. Keep a finger in 2 Peter. A key moment in the Bible as God establishes his first prophet, Moses. And Moses was the one who wrote the first five books of the Bible. But see that Moses had his doubts that God could speak through him. Verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant. But I'm slow of speech and tongue." He had his doubts. "You can't speak through me." Verse 11. Then the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." You see? God himself rebukes Moses. "Cannot I, who made the mouth, speak through your flawed, ineloquent mouth?" He might say the same to us today if we're asking this question. How can God speak through flawed human beings? 40 authors, 1,500 years. Cannot I, who made the mouth, speak through it? Or who made the human hand, write through it? What about Jesus? Jesus' understanding of the scriptures. I just want to pause on this briefly. We can see that Jesus' understanding was exactly the same. He shared the same view of the scriptures. I've put three verses, three examples on your handouts there. Firstly, look with me at Matthew 5:17-18. Not an iota, not a dot shall pass away from the law. Let me just get it. "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. But truly I say to you, not an iota, not a dot will pass away from the law until it is accomplished." Well, certainly this is consistent, isn't it, with Peter's assertion and Paul that every word is breathed out by the Spirit. Jesus believed in the inerrancy of Scripture. Not an iota, not a dot. Speaking of the original manuscripts, inerrant, no mistakes. By the way, of course the original manuscripts have been copied, and those are the ones we have. But, by the way, Jesus himself was prepared to read from a non-original copy in Luke chapter 4 as he stands up in the synagogue in Galilee and reads from Isaiah's scroll. Jesus view of the scripture was he believed in the inerrancy of scripture. Secondly, look at Matthew 19, 5 and 6. He quotes here, the reason I put this is he quotes the narrator of Genesis. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That is not God's direct speech. That is the narrator, that is Moses, who was writing Genesis. Jesus' conclusion from that text, he says, what therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. Jesus takes the narration of Moses to come with all the authority of God. Jesus believed that every word of Scripture was the word of God. And then thirdly, Mark 12:36, where he says, speaks of David, through the Spirit says, and then he quotes Psalm 110, which was written by David. The Lord said to my Lord. But you can see there that Jesus recognizes that same dynamic by which the human author is carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so Peter, Paul, and Jesus, the same view of the scriptures. God's word through men to mankind. That is what Jesus thought and taught. And those who take another view depart from Jesus himself. Well, briefly then, as we close, why has God chosen to do it this way? You know, God could have spoken through the stars. He could write it in the sky. He could boom from the heavens in every generation. Why has God chosen to speak through human beings to human beings? And pause briefly on two things here. Firstly, it is fitting for the God who was willing to stoop to become a man, to die, that we might be forgiven. That is the same God who in his great kindness and mercy has been willing to stoop and speak to us in words that we can understand, so that he, an infinitely holy and incomprehensible God, can be known by human beings with our tiny and feeble minds. The 16th century Christian John Calvin very helpfully put it like this. He said, God has stooped to lisp and stammer in the Bible, like a nurse with a newborn baby. Two of my friends at Grace Church have just had a baby, Caleb, 3 weeks old. I don't think they're reading War and Peace to Caleb at this point, or Shakespeare's sonnets. Why? Because they love him. No, what they're saying to Caleb at the moment is, hello, it's Mama. They're stammering, they're stuttering, they're stooping, because they love him and want to make themselves known to him. And so it is with God. In the Bible, another Christian writer says this, our God is a speaking God, and in his extraordinary kindness he stoops down to speak to us. Using human language, he translates his thoughts into our words and so effectively communicates with us and relates to us at our level. The humanness of the Bible speaks of the kindness of an infinite God who is prepared to stoop so that he might be known by his people. And secondly, the God who is gentle in the way that he speaks. Now, we won't cover both of these passages. I'll leave you to go and read 1 Kings 19 if you'd like to. But I think this principle is established in these two Old Testament passages. Right at the beginning of the Bible story in Exodus chapter 20, God spoke directly to Moses on the mountain. And the mountain was trembling with thunder and lightning and flashes, and it, because of his glorious holiness. So that When the people see the thunder and lightning below, they're terrified. And they say to Moses when he comes down, I've put the quote on your sheet, they say, you speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us lest we die. And so that's what happens. God says to Moses, thus you shall say to the people of Israel. Moses becomes the go-between. Between a terrifyingly glorious holy God and sinful people. In one sense then, we should be careful what we wish for. Do you want to hear the living God speak to you in his unmediated glory? That would be terrifying. The roar of many waters. Our feeble frames could not handle it. And so God, through Moses, to the people, was partly about what they were able to bear. Moses could relay God's words without the terrifying thunder and lightning and earthquakes. So it is with us. God, through the Bible to us, is about speaking to us in a way that we can bear. And so the humanness of the Bible is about a God who loves us enough to stoop to make himself known, and a God who loves us enough, as it were, to whisper gently to us so that we might be able to hear him, not in terror, but like a father speaking gently to his child. Well, one main implication, we can know God because he has spoken through the Bible. What an astounding truth to think about. What should we say to the skepticism in our culture? It is both understandable, people are flawed, and foolish. God has spoken gently, quietly, not in the clamour or constant shouting of the loudest human voices, not in the endless frantic emails flying around the city, not through earthquakes, wind or fire, not by writing his name in the sky or speaking directly and audibly to our ears, but in the quiet, calm, still voice of the Bible. He whispers gently to us, put your faith in me and I will forgive you through my Son and give you everlasting life. The Bible, as one person has put it, is God's love letter to the world in darkness. He has spoken gently, he has spoken authoritatively. It is his word without error, all of it, so we can put our trust in every word. Every word is from him. We can base our lives on it, and we should submit our lives to it. Two questions just to leave us as we close. What kind of gratitude is due to a God who has stooped down in this way to give us his word so that we can know him? Secondly, what kind of crime is it to throw it back in his face? Not good enough. And so this truth should draw us to know him in his word, to set ourselves to read, mark, learn, inwardly digest the scriptures. I hope that is your aim for this year, to get to know God in the scriptures. Let me pray as we close. Our Father, thank you that we can trust that every word of Scripture is God-breathed. Thank you that we can base our lives on it. Thank you that you have stooped in the words of Scripture to make yourself known so that we in our frailty and tiny minds and humanness can understand you and can know you. And we do pray, Father, that you would enable us to commit ourselves to knowing you more and more as you have revealed yourself in the Scriptures. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much for coming.